On his honeymoon, Mark wanted to show off his perfect swan dive to his wife in the crowded hotel pool. He nailed it, and very proud of himself, gets out of the pool where he hoped to find his new bride gleaming. Instead, she was laughing hysterically and pointing to the diving board where he saw his swim trunks still hanging.
When you are able to laugh at yourself, even in situations where it's not funny, listen, it changes the dynamic of the situation.
There are times when laughter is the only appropriate response. And maybe it's a gift we don't often appreciate.
What would life be like without laughter?
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. There's a reason we laugh, as if it's been hardwired into the very DNA of our bodies. And if that's the case, since God made us, then does that mean that He also laughs? It's the question Pastor Tapp asks this week as he shares his message, The Gospel of Laughter.
I'm sure you are very familiar with the expression that says, laughter is what? The best medicine. Meaning that there are times in our lives when laughter is just the medicine that the doctor ordered for that particular moment, for that particular time in our lives. And although on the surface this may appear to be just another clever sounding idiom, there is actually a great deal of truth to this statement that laughter is the best medicine. In fact, many studies have revealed that one's ability, listen to this, that one's ability to laugh can at times serve as a powerful antidote for things like stress, pain, depression, and even conflict. If you want to diffuse an argument, just start laughing. For nothing has proven to work as fast and more reliably to restore a balance between one's mind and between one's body as does this thing that we call laughter. But have you ever stopped to wonder, where does laughter come from? Is it a behavior that we learn, or is it something that we've been born with? Recently, I read that infants laugh almost from the time they are born. Now, at this stage, they have no ability to be able to process any kind of cognitive issues that allow them to discern what's funny and what's not. But from the time of birth, babies can laugh. I've even read that animals also have the ability to laugh as well. But then in one study that I took a look at, it says that most of the things that we as humans find funny to the point of laughing, really there's no humor in it at all. As a matter of fact, 80 to 90% of the things that make us laugh really are not humorous at all. Which means most times when we laugh, it's not because of some joke that someone told, it's not because of some funny story that we heard, and it's not some vicarious situation that we may find ourselves in and we find it to be humorous. Most of the time you and I laugh, it's because nothing of our humorous nature took place at all. You don't have to take a class or a seminar to laugh, because it's something for the most part that is completely out of our control. I'm not in control all the time of what I'm going to find funny and laugh about, whether it's funny or not. For it is within our DNA. Simply put, the ability to laugh is a gift from God. And many believe that it is the byproduct of God's Holy Spirit within us and having been created in the very image of God. So I laugh, you laugh, because we all have been created in the image of God. But if that's the case, here's the question that I really want us to deal with today. If I laugh because I'm created in God's image, does that mean then that God laughs as well? Some of you are saying yes. How do you know that? The Bible has a lot to say on the topic of laughter. Turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes as we read words from Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Look at what the Word of God says. To everything there is a what? There's a season. There's an appropriate and expected time. That's what that means. A time for every purpose under the sun. A time to be born and a time to do what? To die. A time to plant and a time to pluck what has been planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. But look at verse 4. Look at what he says. There's a time to weep. In other words, there is a time for us to cry. But he does not end with that. He goes on to say that there's also a time to mourn, a time to dance rather, a time to mourn, listen to this, and a time to what? Dance. So the wisest man that ever lived saying, listen, there is a time for you to cry, but there's also a time for you to laugh. Yes, there's a time for you to mourn, but God says there is also a time for you to dance. And it just got quiet in here. Even more quiet than it was before. Listen, Solomon says, and he acknowledges that laughter is something that is not out of the ordinary, but rather it should be viewed as a regular part of the human experience. He says to everything, listen, there is a season, there is an appropriate and expected time to die, to kill, to give birth, to plant, and so forth. But he also says, listen, there is a time to laugh. In other words, laughter should not have to be contrived, manufactured, or artificially stimulated. It should just happen. I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things I love to see and hear is a group of children just together laughing for no apparent reason. Why is it that the older we get, the less we laugh? Some of you need to laugh right now. If you can see your faces, thank you. Amen. You need a good hearty laugh. Laughter is something that God has put within us. And when you look at laughter in Scripture, most times it's placed in the context of joy and rejoicing. Joy and rejoicing. In chapter 8 of the book of Job, verse 23, when you look at all that Job went through in his life, having lost his children, lost his wealth, lost his prestige, and he had a wife that had the audacity to say, listen, in view of all that, you just need to curse God and die. But in the midst of that verse 21, it says, God placed laughter in the mouth, in the heart of Job. And I hope you didn't miss that. Laughter is not something that we do on our own. There are times that God places the ability to laugh within us. And it's usually those times when we're at our lowest. Laughter and joy are tied together. One person once said that laughter is really the sound of joy. And if joy is a fruit of the Spirit, then laughter has to be given by God as well. It is a precious gift from God. And God has given us this precious gift as a way not only to impact our lives in a positive way, but also he has given us this thing called laughter so that we can impact the lives of others in a very positive way. Have you ever noticed how infectious laughter is? Have you ever walked into a room and people were laughing, and you had no clue as to why they were laughing, but then without even thinking about it, you started laughing as well? Has that ever happened to you? Because laughter is infectious. Studies have shown that when we are together as a group, we laugh 30% more than when we're not together in a group, which means laughter then is also a byproduct of being and living and breathing in community. We're supposed to laugh. Listen, newsflash, it is not a sin to laugh. You laugh at that, but there are many Christians who believe that laughter is sinful. Listen, laughter is God-given, which means there should be more laughter in our homes. There should be more laughter in a church. I don't want to be part of a church where the people don't want to laugh. But then again, laughter is something that has been given to us by God. And if it is part of the lineage of the fruit of the Spirit, that means then there should be more laughter among Christians than any other group on the face of the planet. So why is it then we seem most times to be void of this thing called laughter in our lives? Some of us even have a very difficult time just cracking a smile. But it's an extension of the God-given joy that He has placed within us. It's part of our DNA. Back in 1965, there was a school in Tanzania where three young ladies started laughing uncontrollably, and it caught on to such a degree that over two-thirds of the student body began to laugh uncontrollably, to the point where they had to shut down the school. I'm not making this up, because that's how infectious this thing called laughter is. Laughter has the ability to trigger positive feelings, not just in our own lives, but in the lives of those that we come in contact with. Look at this quotation from the Christian writer Ted Lodi. He said, "Laughter is a holy thing." Have you ever looked at laughter that way? He says, "Laughter is a holy thing. It is as sacred as music and silence and solemnity." Maybe, he says, even more sacred. Laughter, he says, is like a prayer. It's like a bridge over which creatures tiptoe to meet each other. Laughter is like mercy, because it said it has the power to bring about healing. And I love this last part. He says, "When you can laugh at yourself, you are free." I learned that at a very young age when I was teased a lot for various and sundry reasons, which I will not take time to go into this morning. But I was teased a lot as a child. But I learned very quickly the way to diffuse that was to have the ability to laugh at myself. So if I fell down the steps and everybody started laughing, I just got up and started laughing too. I never forget getting on a bus one day. I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, and all of us were standing at the bus stop in high school to take us home. And I had this big notebook full of all of my papers. And as I was about to get on the bus, it fell to the ground and all of my papers just went everywhere. And everybody on the bus just fell out and laughing, rolling on the floor. They thought it was funny. So I just said to the bus driver, "Excuse me, sir, can you give me a minute?" When I got my papers, got on the bus, people just, ha, 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 ha. So I started laughing too. I said, "Ha, ha," and then the laughter stopped. When you are able to laugh at yourself, even in situations where it's not funny, listen, it changes the dynamic of the situation. Talking about the gospel of laughter. Think about it for a moment. What would life be like without laughter? The ability to to express in a very visible, audible display of joy. Abraham Lincoln once said that with the fearful strain that he had to go through night and day, that if he did not have laughter, he says, I would die. But what I find interesting is that although God has given us the ability to laugh, to produce the feelings of joy within ourselves as well as in the lives of others, God's laugh is a completely different ball game altogether. Look at what the psalmist says as it relates to God's laugh and the nature of God's laugh in Psalms 37, verses 12 and verse 14. Look at what he talks about the nature of God's laugh. He says, the wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, The Gospel of Laughter. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
I'm going to take a moment and just recommend that you breathe. Now, there are all kinds of breathing techniques that you can use. One is count to 10, you know, breathing in, count to 10, breathing out, kind of hold it in the middle, you know, breathing in His grace and breathing out His praise. Whatever you choose, breath is really important. And this time of year, you know, you may have a cold or you may have the flu and it's restricting your breathing. So you know just how important that is. God has given you that breath. In Acts, Paul wrote this, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands, and he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else." And so take a moment and take a deep breath and stay encouraged.
To get more encouraging content, go to WGTS919.com.
This is Simple Truths for Life, and maybe we could avoid many of life's conflicts if we just laughed more at ourselves, our circumstances, and even at the absurdity of God's goodness. This week, Charles Tapp shares the benefits of laughter as he continues his message, The Gospel of Laughter.
Now, although God has instilled within all of us the ability to laugh, to produce emotional healing, when God laughs, He produces not healing, but fear in the hearts of men. We see this again in Psalms 33, 12 and 13. It says, God's laugh in response to those who think that they are ultimately in charge, He just sits on His throne and laughs. God is still scoffing. God is still laughing today. Probably, God is probably laughing more today than at any other time in Earth's history. As He sits on His throne and He looks at human beings who think that they are really in charge, that think they've got all the power within their own hands. And God just sits there and goes, In other words, He's saying, unbelievable. What in the world are they thinking? One comedian said, if you want to make God laugh, tell God your plans. We're not in charge. God is in charge. And He laughs at our foolish ideas, and He laughs at our foolish plans when we think that our way is more beneficial than the plans of an all-wise, all-knowing God. It's not a ha-ha-ha laugh. It's not even a L-O-L laugh. You know, when they first started texting, I was learning the language. I didn't know that L-O-L meant laugh out loud. So friends would send me texts, and at the end they would put L-O-L. And I thought it meant lots of love. No, seriously. So I said, man, I am really loved by so many people. Why are so many people letting me know just how much they love me? Lots of love. And my daughters told me, Dad, that doesn't mean lots of love. So what does it mean? It means laugh out loud. Then I said, wait, you mean they were making fun of me? Oh, no. Listen, when God laughs, it's not a LOL kind of laugh. It's a laugh that says, what in the world are you thinking about? You've got to be kidding me. You're not in charge. And as I said earlier, God, I believe, is laughing more at us than he has ever laughed in the entire span of this universe. Because today, men think, politicians believe that they're in charge. And God just sits back and goes, Because God knows the end from the beginning. I truly believe God has a sense of humor, though. Somebody said, I know God has a sense of humor because I looked in the mirror, he created me. But for me, the most or the strongest biblical evidence that God has a sense of humor is found in the book of Genesis. Genesis 17, verse 18, and in chapter 18 as well. We know this story. Well, God goes to Sarah, to Abraham, and he tells Sarah, who's about 90 years of age, and you women can really appreciate this, you are going to give birth. Then he goes to Abraham and says, your wife, Sarah, will give birth. And Abraham is thinking in his mind, but she's about 90, I'm 100, you know, the store has been closed. And the Bible says that Sarah laughed within her heart, which means you can laugh without making a sound. And then it says that Abraham also laughed, but his laugh was a rolling on the floor kind of laughter. Look at it in Genesis chapter 18, verses 13 to verse 15. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am what? Old. You can even say very old. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Don't miss that point. At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now look at verse 15. But Sarah denied it. And the reason she denied it, because she didn't laugh out loud. She laughed within her heart. But God read her heart. For she was afraid, and he said, no, but you did laugh. Now, please don't miss this. They weren't making fun of God. They weren't even really laughing at God. And there's some commentators that believe that they were laughing at God. But I don't believe that's the case when you really examine the context of what was going on. This woman, Sarah, was old. Abraham was old, beyond childbearing years. And God says, you will give birth to a son, not when you were younger, but now when you're in your senior years. And the only response that they could muster was laughing. And I believe that this laughter is the result of believing that somehow, in order for God to carry out his plan in their lives, that they felt that they had to make a major contribution to it. And many of us are the same way. We think that God's will and plans for our lives are dependent upon us, not realizing that it has very little to do with us, and it has more to do with the power of God in our lives. See, God's plan is contingent on our ability to contribute to success as well as our ability to comprehend it. If God had told you at a very young age, listen, what he had in store for you later on in your life, some of you, the only response that you could probably muster up would be laughter. If God had told some of you at an early age the heights that he wanted to take you to in your life, you would have probably laughed rolling on the floor. Because in your mind, you thought and you could not comprehend what God wanted to do, because you were thinking that what he wanted to do, you had to do within your own strength and within your own power. Listen, they weren't laughing at God. They were laughing because of their doubt and unbelief that this could really happen, that God could really do this with me. Listen, if God had told me at the age of 10, being a child who stuttered and who would hide his stuttering, even from my own family, I hid it. And I hated to speak in public because whenever I was nervous, that's when the stuttering would be almost uncontrollable. If God had told me at the age of 10 that with this stuttering problem, being a child who's very small in stature, a child who was sickly, always in the doctor's office, always in the hospital, because I had asthma to such a degree that I just got sick all the time. And whenever I would get sick, I couldn't eat. And because I couldn't eat, I would lose weight. I was this 90-pound weakling, short 90-pound weakling who stuttered. And because of all of that, I was shy. People thought I was stuck up. No, I wasn't stuck up. I was shy. I didn't want to be made fun of. I didn't want people to laugh at me. But if God had told me then, son, the voice that you now stutter with, the voice that is so high-pitched that people mistake you for your mother on the phone. See, you laugh. I hope you're laughing with me and not at me. That same voice would now be on radio all over the world. That same voice would go into recording studios and record voiceovers for commercials and documentaries and for all these other sundry things. Listen, I would have laughed. But here's the thing, and you've heard the expression, he who laughs last laughs best. And I'm so glad that in my life, God, listen to me, had the last laugh. God had the last laugh. There's no way you could have told. No way. No way. God had the last laugh in my life. God wants to have the last laugh in your life. This thing of laughter, it's in our DNA. And God has placed it there so that we can express our joy and our hope and our expectations in him. So when you're down, laugh. When you're under stress, laugh. When your enemies have desire to do you in, join God and laugh with him because he has the last laugh. God has the last laugh. When your boss on the job treats you unfairly, laugh. When things aren't going your way and you feel that everyone has turned their back on you, laugh. For God has put it in your DNA to bring about joy and hope and expectation in your life, and not just your life, but in the lives of others as well. So I challenge all of you as you go throughout the rest of this day and out the rest of the week, laugh. God expects you to laugh. God has created you to laugh. There's no other group on the face of the planet that should know that better than those of us who are called by his name. It's the gospel of laughter.
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp, and his message, the gospel of laughter. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages by subscribing to our podcasts on platforms like Apple Podcasts and now also on Spotify, or visit us online at simpletruthsforlife.org. Well, Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again next week for more simple truths for life.